Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, it's going to be a fun one.
Hey, man, we're going to have a lot of fun this morning. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, CEO with Corporate Hearts LLC, Miss Jennifer Levine Hearts. Good morning.
And thank you, Stone and Lee. Nice to see you guys.
Nice seeing you. Well, Jennifer, before we get too far into things, tell us a little bit about Corporate Hearts. How are you serving folks?
So Corporate Hearts has been in business about 20 years. I started about 20 years ago. And we do corporate social responsibility strategic consulting that includes sustainability, diversity, and inclusion. Today is Veterans Day, so project programs for veterans and recognition and jobs, and sustainability. That's all the aspects of corporate social responsibility. Our second line of business is in family philanthropy, helping individuals and families of all sizes use their wealth to do good in the world and to deepen their familial relationships. And then the third thing we do is evangelize to as many people as possible how important it is for businesses of all sizes to do something for the community that benefits their business, and for humans of all sizes to do something that benefits the community to enrich their lives.
Now, 20 years ago, how was that conversation going? Because it seems like today it's in the news a lot. I think I read something yesterday that some celebrities say that we're not passing our wealth to our kids. We're going to, you know, make sure that we're doing good in the world and we're giving them a little bit, but we're not going to just kind of have this huge wealth transfer from generation to generation. They didn't think that was a great use of their funds.
Yes, that is correct. In the 2000, if I told somebody I did CSR work, they would presume I was a customer service relationship person,
right,
and probably worked in a telephone center somewhere. Now, corporate social responsibility is very much a term that people understand. They know what that means. Part of my education process is helping people understand the breadth of what that means. Mm-hmm. It's not just writing a check to the Kiwanis Club.
Right, and then calling it a day, and then I think, you know, pat myself on the back about how generous I am.
It's much more important about thinking about the impact of your supply chain, how you get into new markets, how you keep your people trained and developed over time and energized. How do you work with government organizations? How do you work with nonprofit organizations? What do you have to bring to the table that's unique as a business and, of course, as a human as well?
Now, we recently got a chance to go to the Conscious Capitalism Convention conference in Arizona. And that's, I think now, how many chapters, Stone, do they have? They have like 50 or 60 chapters, I think, around the world.
That's correct. There is one here in Atlanta as well.
Right, there's one here in Atlanta. And this is the same type of, it may not be exactly what you do, but it's adjacent to what you do, right? It's this kind of having multiple stakeholders for business to think in terms of not just the investor or even the employee, it's the community as well as a stakeholder.
Right. At the essence, that organization is one piece of the pie that's about intersector partnerships, intersector alliances between governments, nonprofits, foundations, businesses, and family, private foundations as
right.
well.
Right. And then you're kind of, you inject yourself in the middle of that in order to help everybody kind of play nice together or kind of get the most out of each of those relationships?
Get the most out of each of those relationships. It's very, very important to me that despite the Supreme Court decision, everybody understands that businesses are not people.
Mm-hmm.
So what I talk to my corporate clients about is return. You need to get return. It can be return in lower turnover. It can be return in PR coverage, it can be return in actual accessing new clients, new customers, smoothing your supply chain so it's sustainable and therefore saves you money over time. So I stay very focused with businesses on increased profit or decreased cost.
And it's not just you feel good about yourself.
I'm very happy to everybody feel good about
right.
themselves. And so what I bring to the table basically is I am going to make you more profitable and more fulfilled.
Right. And they're not mutually exclusive. Like, you can
they
do both. And that's where a lot of people think it's one or the other. And it's not charity, right?
That's
a misconception,
charity.
Right?
Correct.
And then, so now walk me through, like, what's the pain point they're having, this new customer of yours? What's happening in their world that they say, we got to call Jennifer?
So what's interesting is my clients really span from organizations, companies you've never heard of, to household names, AT&T, Intercontinental Hotels, Delta, Lincoln Financial. You know, so the variety of clients that I serve is vast. They're also very different in two other dimensions. One is some of them are local, national, America's only, global. Some of them are household names, consumer products. So that's one type of brain strategy to think about would be a consumer products firm, a Coca-Cola. Think about how that's different from Eastman Chemical.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different skills, totally different assets, totally different goals, totally different levers to pull. So clients, I help them define what are their business objectives first. Are you trying to go into Canada and you've never been there before? Are you trying to develop more products for senior citizens?
So the corporate social responsibility component is not even in the conversation at this point.
Correct. They have to define their business goals, decrease turnover. I've done post-merger integration work as
right.
well, which is very interesting. Branding, diversity and inclusion, sustainability, environmental sustainability. So the issue they're trying to attack and what business they're in defines the playground in which I will play.
Mm-hmm. And then, but the pain they're having is what though? So it's a business challenge. They're like, I want to get into Canada. That's my challenge. So I'm going to call Jennifer because she'll help me.
Yes. The pain, what did you call it? A pain point?
Yeah.
The pain point is defined by them. And there's usually more than one. It can be anything from, we're changing over CEOs. It can be regulators are cracking down. It can be, we tried to go into Canada, but basically we were protested and they threw us out. That used to happen a lot back in the day. Nobody wanted the big box anywhere near them.
Right. And then so you have a conversation, you identify that, and then your solution, though, will include some corporate social responsibility.
Correct. My solution will be mainly corporate social responsibility.
As using that as a lever to attack whatever the problem is.
Correct.
And then so then you define the problem, and then so then what does the brainstorming look like? Because what's corporate social responsibility could mean different things to different people, right?
That's right. That's why I asked them first. I don't care. Don't worry about what I do for a living.
Right.
I want to know what you do for a living and how I can make it go better.
Right.
So that's always the initial piece. And then I can come back in the project and say, here's a partnership I think you should look at. How should we budget? Who should be responsible? What are the degrees of freedom? Is this really an HR project? Is this a marketing project? Is this a governance project? Is this being run at the board? Is this only in the U.S. operations, not in the operations around the world? To really define what kinds of work we're going to do in the community, who we need to do it with. That's what happens next.
Now, as part of your value proposition to them is that you become kind of a matchmaker in the sense that, hey, this organization might be a good fit for you to partner or sponsor or whatever the term is to help get them to work together so that it helps them achieve their goal and helps that organization kind of achieve their
goal. Sourcing opportunities, vetting them, doing due diligence about it, creating what the structure of the partnership might look like, what are our possibilities, and doing that along with the people inside the company. I want to go home at the end of the day,
right?
I'm going to work for you. I have clients that I've worked for as short as 3 months, as long as 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, if the whole effort relies on just my presence, it will be dead in the water and they'll quit doing it.
Right.
Well, so I build the capacity,
right?
The sustainability of their business and mine.
Right.
Their capacity, building the capacity of the organization to implement our work.
Now, you mentioned several things that you do, your organization does. what percentage of your time is spent on this element of it? Is this where you spend most of your time?
So, yeah, about 80% of my time, 75% of my time has been in corporate social responsibility with for-profit people as my client. I started officially doing family philanthropy work in 2012. I had been, it's something that you do when you work with executives of companies anyway. Mm-hmm. And I realized, actually one of my clients had me realize that that was actually a line of business that I could put out there. Mm-hmm. So in fact, one of the reasons why I redid my website lately is because I wanted the there to be three lines of business that got equal amounts of attention: corporate social responsibility, family philanthropy, and evangelism on the topic, subject matter expertise.
Right. So then the work is the same. You just want the emphasis to be kind of shown a little differently. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because there are more and more people who understand corporate social responsibility. It's becoming more and more even specialized. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we've become empty nesters. So the when I get to work with multi-generation families to talk to them about how they can use their time and their wealth and their talents to make a difference in their family in addition to in the community, it's I really like it.
Now, that aspect of your business, how much, that's a newer aspect where you're actually dealing with families, multi-generation families?
Just since 2012.
Right. So that's relatively new. What's some advice for a family that's, like first, how much wealth does a family need to even consider this, if that's even an issue, if the amount is an issue? But what is some of the, like, kind of advice you can give them to make this work? Mm-hmm. Because every family, I think, can do it to some to whatever degree they can do it.
That's correct. But hiring me would require a certain level, right? So I have clients that have donor advised funds, and I have clients that have full fledged family foundations, and I have clients that have had that have family foundations for, and they're in the G5, mm-hmm. the fifth generation already. So it very much varies in terms of the amount of money that they have to invest, but it doesn't really make a difference in the project. It makes the project go more. It's more complex.
Right.
But, you know, if I were to serve Business Radio X, which is a smaller business growing and growing and growing, it doesn't need to have a lot of zeros after it.
Right. But what's something that a family could do if they just want to have that mindset of give back and I want to serve?
So I have a few tidbits to share. One is that there is no such thing as too young. Second is there's no such thing as too busy. And there is no such thing as it won't help. So I am very, I have very strong opinions based on a lot of research and my own personal life with a husband and four kids. Start right away. Start with allowance. Start with allowance, including money for charity. Start with allowance that includes taxes. Everybody in the studio just went, what? So here's the thing. Our kids started to have, you know, pay jobs, babysitting or whatever, you know, when they're 12 or whatever, that kind of thing starts. And then they start getting real jobs where they get W-2s and paperwork.
Right.
None of our children were surprised when they thought they were making X an hour and the check doesn't add up that way when they get paid.
Right.
Everybody knew to expect that. We always talked about what are taxes for? Why do we pay them? And we even had one of our daughters, there was a, somebody had a car accident and knocked down a stop sign. And she said, driving by, and she says to my husband, that's broken. Look, shouldn't they fix that? And then Eric said, who's they? And she said, well, you know, the taxes people.
The one that we've been paying taxes for.
So she was pretty little and she had already figured out that that was how that was going to get done. I also think that passing on your values is a very important part of family philanthropy. What you care about and demonstrate to the next generation hopefully flows to the next and the next, and they'll all adopt it in their own way. My parents live in a different organization, a different world than her parents, than their parents, and different from ours. But the values can stick but adapt over time.
But values, when you say values, is it more kind of role modeling behavior rather than Oh, today's the day that Grandpa writes all the checks to all the charities that he supports.
Of course, it's much easier to teach in action than in numbers. So yes, maybe there is a meeting every year where they decide where they're going to send their allocations of money, but this should be a thought and a conversation that goes year round.
Right. It's not an event. It should be a lifestyle almost. So now if somebody wants to learn more about what you're up to, what's the coordinates website? You got a new website.
Yes, I have a new website.
Well, I'd love to talk to whoever designed that in a little while. Well,
maybe,
we'll see if we can
maybe
pull.
We can pull that off.
The website is www.corporatehearts.com. That's corporatehearts.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming back and visiting with us. Thanks so much for sharing with us some ideas on how we can do this. What she's describing, Lee, I know is something that strikes a chord with you. It's something that we would like to do as an organization, and you and I both would like to do through our families. So it's always inspiring to talk to you and the kind of work that you're doing. So thank you for coming and talking.
Thanks
with
for
us.
Having me.
All right. Hey, stay with us. We're going to visit with some more guests. All right.
Terrific.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us, with Webstep Design, coincidentally enough, Ms. Hallie Marochnik. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Stone. And kudos for pronouncing my last name correctly.
It took a little practice before the show, but
it's
we
not
pulled
an
it
easy
off.
One.
And I was prepared to dub something new in if I had to.
Well, tell us about Webstep Design. How are you serving folks?
So about 4 or 5 years, no. 6 years ago, I started this business that helps nonprofits and small businesses with their online digital marketing. And this is through primarily building websites and helping them with their SEO, helping them with their email marketing, and a number of other ways, including analytics.
Now, how'd you get into this?
Yeah, so years ago, I did media buying for an international company called TBWA Shiade, and I purchased spot time, cable and TV and radio spot time, and advertising.
Right.
And I focused on, you know, a big focus of media buying is thinking about our clients' target audience and their marketing. So, and of course, over time, things have changed with advertising. And I freelanced and decided that I wanted to continue to help my clients with their advertising, but small clients. I decided to go out on my own and help with online. As things have changed, people need an online presence. So, I decided that, you know, first started helping people with pay-per-click and helping people with their advertising online.
How did you learn this? Because that wasn't the scope of your work, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, over time, a lot of people like me had to kind of self-teach themselves.
Right.
At the time, there really weren't, you know, programs.
Yeah, the university system wasn't
exactly
that nimble at the time. They
right.
had to jump on SEO.
Right, right. Which I understand these days there are programs. Right. But there is a lot of information online and a lot of ways of a lot of support. Google provides a huge amount of support for their advertising. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's something that I kind of had to figure out and play with for myself and then go on and help.
So you started out doing it for yourself in terms of let me do this so I can learn how to promote my agency?
Absolutely, absolutely. And
so you were the guinea pig.
I was the guinea pig.
The beta tester for yourself.
I was the beta tester for myself and
how'd you do?
You know, with any new business, there are bumps in the road, but I figured it out well enough to be able to really support and help other people. Nonprofits need a lot of help.
Right.
And nonprofits don't always have a big budget.
So how did you get into that niche?
With nonprofits?
Right. Because you could have picked anything. You were starting from a blank slate.
Right, right. Absolutely. So, you know, I guess probably I had friends who needed help. And most of my business comes from my friend, not just my friends, but also people who I know through my contacts. So I really don't take business from people who who I haven't met before. It's kind of a comfort level thing. I like to have that relationship, and it helps with the process too. When I have when it's built from trust.
Mm-hmm. And then that way you really know what their goals are, and you can kind of really have those consultative conversations that maybe there are pushback, right? Where there
That's
is a
right.
level, because they might think they should do one thing and you might have a different opinion.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the relationship, and that's part of trying to figure each other out. I have my clients include a number of different categories, and because of that, I have to learn a number of different businesses.
Right.
So, but it makes my job interesting.
Now, do you have any stories you can share of what maybe the nonprofit or the organization was struggling, and then you came on board and you were able to kind of help them achieve some of the goals and objectives they set forth?
Absolutely. Well, so I'll tell you, my first client, was my father.
Uh-huh.
So he is
so that says a lot, because we can't get any of our family to be
I can't
there,
get any of my family to write me a check.
Right,
No. There was no exchange of money going on here. But I'll tell you his success story. He is, you know, he's not just an empty nester, but he's a retiree who wanted to do something positive for children in Africa. And so he had traveled to Africa, and he decided that he wanted to help build wells and help support communities with providing bicycles. And so he needed some outreach, and I was able to help him with outreach. I helped him with a website, and I helped him with emails, and I helped him figure out how to do donations online. And through that, he has this wonderful little nonprofit that is very successful.
And then it was done in a way that he can manage it, or you were involved in the management of it?
I was involved in the management of it, but you know, that's a really good point, is the websites that I design are using foundations that my clients are able to kind of run with afterwards. I use WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, I've used Wix a little bit, but I like to use WordPress. It's very functional. It's very it's easy to use. It's easy to hand over the product.
Right, to transfer your knowledge to somebody else.
Exactly.
So they can kind of be do it themselves without calling you every time. Hey, can you make this bigger or bold?
That does happen, right? But it has a lot of flexibility to it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways to put little pieces into the website so that it creates additional functionality. So I use that. I use MailChimp. MailChimp is based here in Atlanta.
Right.
And that MailChimp is a great product. Some people like to use Constant Contact, but I like MailChimp. And so I also try to train my clients a little bit so that they can take the product and run with it too.
So that it's not like kind of a engagement for life. You're giving them kind of the resources so they can go forth on their own.
Right. And there are some people who do what I do that do it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who kind of hold that. I like to make sure that my client owns their domain name and owns their website. There are some website designers who they'll end up owning the domain, and they'll end up having the hosting paid directly to them, and they'll make the updates, and which I'm sure provides a good bit of security for their clients. But I like to make sure that the product that I am providing my clients is that they own it. If they want something else done to their website, if they want some other functionality, that they can go and hire some other, you know, website person or digital marketer to help them. So
you want to always try to hand it off if possible, but if they want you to hang around,
I'm happy to.
You're happy to do that.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why the company is called Webstep Design, because many times a person will create a website and decide that they do want another step, and so we can kind of build from there.
And for you, when you're doing your work, what's the funnest part of the job? Is it the creating of the website? Is it kind of getting into the analytics and the nitty gritty of the SEO and you know, the email marketing and that stuff? Like, do you have a favorite part?
That's a really good question. You know, I I enjoy all of it. I enjoy working with the client. Sometimes there are struggles, with the relationship of trying to make sure that everybody is on pace for completing the project, because I can't do it on my own. I need other people to, you know, if it's your
right, you need
project.
The information from me,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Like exactly.
You so can't just make it up.
That's right. That's right. So it has to be kind of a back and forth,
right?
Way that we work together, and if that's not happening, then it kind of stalls. So. So I do really enjoy working with my clients and having the relationships, but I love a challenge and I like learning new things. So, I wear a lot of hats.
So now for a nonprofit specifically, are there some must-haves on a website that every nonprofit should have?
Absolutely. Well, you know, of course, the first thing is to have a great big donate button.
Right.
And to make sure that they have an SSL certificate, to make sure that those donations are secure, to make sure that they, you know, have that platform that connects either, you know, there's a number of different platforms where somebody's able to donate through the nonprofit website. Not just for a nonprofit, but every organization should be building an email marketing list. And they should start that from the very beginning of their business. And it's easy to do. There's a form that anybody can have on their website. And a form could be flexible. You can include all kinds of information to gather. And you don't even have to use that email marketing list. You don't even have to use it immediately, but to have it creates value for your company.
But if you decide to use it, is there some strategies around, like how often you should send them something or what should, it can't be all buy my stuff, right? It's gotta
right.
be kind of that, you have to provide some sort of value.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah. So, you know, you can create funnels, you can create all kinds of different, ways of sending it out. But, you know, even just to keep contact once a quarter is a wonderful thing to do for your client list so that you could just remind them that you're there.
Right. And that's kind of the thing I think people take for granted. They get this list and they're like, I've never sent anything.
Right.
Just by reminding them, you might get business
right.
just by it becomes top of mind for that minute. And they're like, oh yeah, I remember those guys. I like them. Like, we should call them.
Yes. And it's an easy thing to do.
Right. And then, so you help in that regard as well. Like if somebody went to like you mentioned a funnel, and why don't you explain what a funnel is for people who don't know what that is?
First, let me tell you that for Jennifer, when I was working on Jennifer's website, one thing that we set up, Jennifer sends out an email quarterly, and she's got a wonderful blog, and she's been she's had it for a long time, which creates a lot of value for her. But one thing we did for her is we set up so that she her emails were sent out automatically as soon as she publishes a blog. So there's a whole format we created through MailChimp. So she never has to log in. All she has to do is publish her blog.
Which she was doing anyway.
Exactly.
And then this way it became also an email.
Right. And it became turnkey.
Right. And it didn't require any more work from her.
That's right.
Once you set it up properly.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what people don't realize, that people create a lot of content and they can be used in different ways. Mm-hmm. And you have to use all the channels that are available to you, right? But you don't have to do the work for all the channels necessarily.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the goal, is to make sure that everything is the easiest for the client, whether it's SEO or social media.
Right.
It should be easy.
Right, because that same blog could become a tweet or a Facebook post
that's
as well, right?
All
that's if
right.
if you kind of plan it right.
Exactly.
And that's where you help them build that foundation so that once it gets going, then it kind of goes.
It hopefully takes off.
That's
yeah.
where that automation thing comes in.
That's right. And there's so many great tools out there. Google Analytics is free. And
right.
it's easy to connect it to your website. It's easy to go and look up what the analytics, you could find out exactly who is looking at which part of your website, whether or not they are from this age range and this,
right.
If they like
and
these kind
of which
things.
Phone. And,
it's,
you know,
amazing.
Right, it's amazing. And, but that's where it becomes overwhelming for most people. It's so much data that can be.
It is.
You
it
don't
is.
Know what's the important data.
That's very true. That's very true. So yeah, it's, there are some companies that, that like to have that data, and there's some companies that, you know, want to look at it more often.
Well, you mentioned that you had done Jennifer's website. So, Jennifer, why don't you jump back in here and talk about how the process went for you in terms of at some point you decided I need a kind of refresher on my website. And then at some point you had to decide who am I going to entrust with that project.
Another bit of serendipity, I should say, because my eldest daughter and Hallie Marochnik's eldest daughter are besties, and they...
Did you know what she did?
No.
So you didn't know. So they were friends, but you didn't know
Spoiler
each other.
Spoiler alert. So my kids had been nudging me about the antiquatedness of my professional website.
So your kids were the catalyst?
Mm-hmm. And... I think they were in, Hallie's daughter and my daughter were in my kitchen, and somehow Jessica said, you have to see this. Look at my mother's website, how awful it is.
One of your prouder moments, right?
Well, I am actually very proud because Hallie's daughter looked at it and looked right up at me and said, that's what my mom does. I said, okay, I've never asked her what she does.
Right. And so at that point you were like, well, let me, now you're, it's now a tricky situation, right? So you.
It was not tricky at all.
So you just said, okay, I'm going to trust this late, this
Absolutely.
Girl's mother.
Well, I've known her forever.
Right.
And, yes, one of the things that Hallie likes is to work with people that she knows.
Right.
For me, in general, I don't feel that way, but this was such a source of anxiety for me. I was very happy to have that work done by a known friend.
So you knew that your website needed to be refreshed.
Yes.
Even though your kids told you, and that kind of put you over the top.
What put me over the top was somebody.
A resource.
Somebody
was
gave
a resource.
Me the resource. They put the resource right in the middle of the table.
Right, because sometimes you need help, and sometimes you need a helper. So now you had a helper, and you were just said, you know, go at it, Hallie. Just go ahead.
Yeah, we worked really well together. It was very, very, very productive. Both of us learned a ton. Mm-hmm. It looks great. The final result is great.
Now, but you had been kept your old website for quite some time.
I had been running my website since a long time.
Right, a long time. Mm-hmm. So it had a look of a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then...
All right already. You're being cruel.
No, I just want to know the... I mean, if you weren't going to make a change for a long time and then you decide to make a change that drastic, you must have had opinions. You must have had, look, if I'm going to do this, I'm... I have opinions on how I want this to be and look. So how did that kind of play out?
So one of the things that Hallie does with her clients is she gives us homework. Mm-hmm. So she asked all of these questions. What are your goals? What do you like about your current website? What do you not like about your current website? And I do homework very well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I gave her everything that she needed, probably and more.
Mm-hmm. She's an overachiever.
And that was how she was able to figure out what, where to start, how to structure it, what was going to be important.
Well, just like you start with the ROI and the math of your business, do you have the same thing? It's like, look, at the end of the day, I want them to have these kind of feelings, or I want them to take these kind of actions.
Absolutely, 100%.
So that's, you know, that's not like, oh, let's make it blue. You know, like the color scheme and things like that are important, but... It's got to create some sort of an action you'd like them to take at the end of the day.
The main thing that she accomplished, other than getting my website out of the dark ages, was having equal emphasis on all three lines of business. She also accomplished...
and that was the intention at Go. You were like, I want all three of these things to show up as a priority, but obviously on a page, something is going to have the first kind of sight when you look at it. So you had to kind of decide what's the order of things.
Correct. And then they mirrored each other, but they had their own content that was relevant to that particular line of business.
Mm-hmm.
She was very creative with being able to do, for example, on the corporate social responsibility services page, you can sort my clients' logos by size, by public versus private, by industry. That's pretty cool.
Right. And was she coming up with ideas that you hadn't thought of?
Yes.
So that was good. That's what you want to hire an expert for, right?
Type A's need creatives in their lives. We really do.
So now both of you are women-owned businesses. Did that come into play at all? Was that part of the... Did that make you feel more comfortable? Do you like women-owned businesses as clients?
Yeah. So Jennifer, I think because... I don't know if it's because she's a woman, but Jennifer happens to be a very organized type A. She wanted to make sure that the process moved forward. And part of that might be because she is a woman, that she was... You know, it was a priority for her to make sure that it moved forward, and it moved forward in a way that that worked for her.
We were start to finish in 3 months.
Wow. From just the, hey, you should do this, to
from our first meeting till going live.
Wow.
First meeting till going live, 3 months.
That's pretty fast, Hallie, right?
It was.
That's unusually fast, I would think.
I think probably for a smaller website, it might not be, but for a website her size, and
for a 20-year-old company website.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing about her website, I have to tell you, and you know, we've given her a lot of difficulty over the you know, it being dated, but I'll tell you one thing that for sure about her website, is that because she had started a website so many years ago and she had the history of this website, Google loved her domain name. If you have a domain name that is, that you keep for a long time, then it helps a lot. And all of the content that she had been building for so many years really paid off for her.
Mm-hmm. And that's another reason to kind of blog and to create content.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Yep.
So now, were there any kind of rough parts, and how'd you navigate them if there were?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, we did a lot of, brainstorming. And as we brainstormed, sometimes we'd change our mind on things, and we'd have to edit things. So that was something that, you know, we worked through.
And how'd you communicate? Was it like, do you have Slack or do you use those things? Or you,
Jen and
you
I
just
work.
Call, you hang out, have coffee.
Oh, Jen doesn't have time for that. She is, you know, we stuck to the job. We stuck to business and we got it done. We just went back and forth just because it was the two of us. There was nobody else who was a decision maker here.
Right.
So it was just the two of us, and we went back and forth a lot.
And then, Jen, how do you feel about the result?
Oh, the results are amazing. The toughest part, I think, for Hallie was the last 10%.
Oh.
The toughest part for me was beta testing.
And then how'd you do beta testing?
Well, I like things to go neatly and orderly. So I wanted all of my beta testers to give positive feedback and constructive criticism. But when some people were giving positive feedback about A, some people were giving constructive criticism about the very same A. So I found it very challenging,
right,
to figure out, all right, well, I know the source. Is that source in my target audience? Do they have an ability to give me advice about changing something we've done? And really sussing all that out was humbling.
Now, is that normally part of your process, to give it to people to go and look at and play with?
No, it's not, honestly. I think in Jen's case, we really needed to do it because there were so many things that we wanted to make sure worked well for other people. So many times I do like to work with the decision maker like Jen, and then we can, you know, once everything is together, then we can go and get some opinions. But it's really hard to work with a committee of people,
right?
From the beginning.
So right. So towards the end, when you let other people play around with it and use the site, and then say, "Okay, I'm not understanding this, or I'm confused about that," then you were able to go back and then you can make the changes.
Yeah. The beta test feedback came to me.
Right.
And I synthesized.
And then you walled it off though, right? You didn't beta test for a long period. You said, okay, we're going to do this for a week or whatever, and get this information and then just throw it out there. At some point, you got to press go.
Correct.
Right.
And then, so how long has it been live?
Since March.
Yeah.
Okay. So been, what's that, 7-8 months?
Yeah.
How, can you tell analytic results, like this is it doing what it was supposed to do?
I'd have to go look at the analytics. I haven't looked
at it. But anything just from, you know, how you're feeling about it and the feedback you're getting from folks?
Huge. So huge immediate feedback. Really, it had a very big start, I think, because I had never really put something out there as boldly, right, as boldly as I had done this website. Everybody liked the look and feel. Everybody liked the navigability. Everybody liked that what I actually do for a living was more clear, more crisp. I have case studies. I have examples. And they loved having the blog on the website.
So it's all in one place.
So the old blog was also on the website, but it was a link that you would click to open a web PDF document. Mm-hmm. And first I had to change all of those to PDFs.
Right.
Because I was naive enough to think that a Word document popping up was just fine. And the second thing is, you can sort the blogs, the individual posts, you can sort them by
category.
Corporate social responsibility, by sustainability.
And were you tagging it? You had tagged it as you were doing that, so you didn't have to go back and then kind of...
That's right. Webstep Design taught me how to do that.
Wow. So that must have been a lot of blog posts to go.
Oh, it was a lot. It was a lot. But, the other thing that we did while we were doing this was also making sure that the SEO was working. So we made sure to take advantage of the keywords and to build in some links.
So, but as PDFs, you couldn't do that, right?
No, we couldn't. So we had to scrap the PDFs.
So you had to scrape it and put it as blog post.
We had to completely do a lot of cut and pasting and editing. And
wow.
Yeah. So, and she has a lot of blog posts.
Now, what about from, because we're running into this challenge for us in our business. I'm going to get some pre-advice here. We have a lot of topics. We cover a lot of topics here. Can a person subscribe to Jen's newsletter, her list, and get only the narrow topic so that only when she posts about a specific thing can they get that, or they have to get the whole thing?
They have to get the whole thing. Part of that is because she only sends out an email once a quarter.
Right, but blog post.
But there is a capability of doing that, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So then she could, if they said, I'm only interested in this part of corporate responsibility or family philanthropy,
you can't.
Anytime she blogs about that, that's the thing they would get.
Yeah, we didn't do that with this one because we wanted to make sure that everybody...
They knew everything.
Yeah, and also, sometimes she'll have a post that... extends into a number of different topics. So she'll have, it'll be pinpointed at one category, with several different categories.
Right.
We didn't think that would work for her, but it can work for other people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the pain that somebody's having, a potential client for you, is what? What is the thing they're having where they're going to say, I got to call Hallie?
So a number of different reasons. Sometimes the impetus is, that, like Jen, she just felt that she needed an update. Many times, somebody should make sure, everybody should make sure that their website is mobile friendly, and making sure that it, that it works for them. Just because you have a website doesn't mean that you're going to be found. And so there's a couple of different pieces to this. Is having a website that shows what a valid and great company you are, so that somebody isn't looking at you going, boy, do they really, not care? It's important to your brand,
right?
But also it's important to the functionality that you might need. You might need as I said, to have that email list or to have...
Or have a way to make a donation.
That's right.
Right, how are you going to give me money if that's what I need?
That's
They have to go somewhere to do that.
Right. You could
might as well be your website.
That's right. You could be a photographer who wants to show off your images. You could be a an auto body shop who wants to make sure that they have all of the information, or they can gather all of the information about a prospective client. So
if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation with you.
Yeah. So my website is, webstepdesign.com. And
they can join your email list. I bet you know, give out some tips or something,
oh,
right?
You know, I am my own worst client. yeah. So, but my email's on there, Hallie at webstepdesign.com. And I welcome any emails.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Hey, stay with us. We've got one more segment we're going to do this morning. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us the owners, the franchisees, with Sylvan Learning of Alpharetta. And we'll first introduce Mr. Nan Din. How are you, man?
Great. Thank you.
Well, we're glad to have you. Before we dive into your segment, what did you learn in those last two segments?
Oh, quite a lot, because I come from a tech background. So the WordPress and the learning the flow of the website development. In fact, we're trying to develop our e-commerce website as of this moment. So those tidbits are really helpful.
So if you need somebody, I know somebody.
Right. Except I'm not a nonprofit.
I think she can make it work.
Yeah.
Small business too.
Yeah.
So tell us about this undertaking you and your wife were on, this adventure.
Well, I actually graduated from Georgia Tech. And so I've been growing up here. I moved here. And my wife and I both are immigrants. We moved here when we were around 9 or 10. And we've been in the Atlanta area since. So I moved here in 92. And I grew up in Roswell area. And then went to Georgia Tech. And my family's always been entrepreneurs. Some of them didn't even finish high school. Some of them didn't, and none of them got to go to college, because we moved from Vietnam and you had to be part of the Communist Party in order to, go to college.
So the entrepreneurship and communism, they don't go hand in hand?
Not really. They don't. China's trying to make it work, but it's a very difficult mix.
So now you came here and then, and then you went to Georgia Tech, and then you thought, okay, I'm going to be an entrepreneur at some level. That's part of your DNA now, right?
Pretty much. By my second year, I was like, you know, school is not going to do it. So I could just finish as fast as I can, go work for corporate for a few years, and then open our own business. But my dad shortcutted that, and when I graduated, he and I opened a lawnmower repair shop in Roswell. Mm-hmm. And that's how my business started, my business stepping stone started. I actually put away my computer engineering degree for like 8 years.
For lawn mowing.
Right.
Repair.
Exactly. I figured it couldn't be that hard. I graduated from tech, right? But it was very difficult. We almost failed the first few years. I don't know if you guys remember 2007, 2008, where we had the worst drought in the history of Georgia.
Right. And then you had the financial on
exactly.
top of that.
Actually, the financial actually helped us because people repaired more than
they right. Then they were buying new ones, right?
Exactly.
They better fix their existing one.
So I built that up, and 2012 we started selling on Amazon, and that was
selling what?
Selling lawn equipment parts. Uh-huh. And so basically that was a God incident, I call it, a man of faith, but it was an incident where I bought too much stuff. So it would have taken like 10 years for me to sell it locally. So I figured, okay.
So like what stuff did you buy
like,
too much of?
Transmissions and belts and other
so
parts.
You just made a mistake? Like it was an accident?
Yes. It was a long story, but basically, I started going on eBay, tried to sell it. It was very difficult. Then I went on Amazon, started selling that.
Never sold anything on Amazon or eBay before?
Never.
So that you were just...
I mean, I sold stuff on eBay before, but you know the long steps required to sell on eBay, and that was very difficult. And then Amazon just made it really easy to list. So we started selling that a month. We're talking about like hundreds of belts and hundreds of transmissions here. And so we started selling a few a week, and then I found this program called FBA. Now you're kind of familiar with it. It was his Prime. Basically, you store it at their warehouse, and then they ship it for you.
So you just send them all the stuff.
Exactly. Back then, FBA, this was 2012. FBA was fairly new. And so we started listing, and then it started selling like 10 or 20 per week.
Wow.
And
so was this like becoming better than the repair business?
Yes. And then I was like, hey, there's a business opportunity here. So we scaled that up.
So what, your dad was all in on this too?
Basically, I was running the whole operation, so he was just watching from the sideline.
Right.
But that's basically how we started, and now that's 90-95% of our businesses. Right.
So you do any repair now, or that's...
We are actually...
You have a kid do that now.
Pretty much. we still do that because of the dealerships, but we scale that down significantly.
So now you're in the kind of reseller business?
Yes. We're the top 10,000 reseller on Amazon.
Wow. Congratulations. Thank you. That was just like kind of an accident?
It started as an accident, but like I said, I had to pull out my old degree.
Right.
Because we had to write a lot of code and software to automate that process.
So you did the coding?
No, I hired, that was a long process too. I hired people in India, hired people in Philippines, hired people in Costa Rica.
So you got use of that tech degree.
Right, exactly. Now we have our own in-house development
team. See, like at first tech's like, I don't know if I'm going to talk about this, the repair thing, but now they'll talk about you as a reseller and writing code and things like that.
Right.
They're proud of that.
Yes. But I run the business side. We have a couple of developers working for us to write the software to automate the process.
Now how did the Sylvan Learning Center come into play?
My wife and I both have 6 kids. And so for the past many years, she's been a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And
6 kids.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yes.
More than 10, right?
More than a full-time job.
Right.
And so Amazon is a great opportunity, but they got you by the neck. Basically, if they decide to shut it off.
Right, you're dependent all in with them.
Right.
If they make some change or change a rule or decide to compete with you, which has all happened.
That's not the major issue. That is a normal part of business, but the major issue is they decide to shut you down for whatever reason, and whoever has different... they can shut you down anytime for any reason.
Because you're on their platform.
Exactly, exactly.
And so you couldn't diversify to different platforms?
It wasn't feasible because the best diversification would have been like double the amount of work for about 10% of the revenue. That would have been eBay. Yeah, so Amazon has just made it so much easier to do business, but that also means they have all the full control of it.
That's the risk reward.
Right.
So you said I'll diversify my portfolio, my family's financial portfolio, by getting involved with Sylvan. So now you decided was the decision to open a franchise or was the decision to open a Sylvan?
The decision was to open a franchise. My wife was not a business entrepreneur before she married me, but we just kind of learned together, and she actually bought a franchise called Realana of Cummings. And which is puts together a children's consignment event twice a year. So she was learning basically about business and how to market and things like that. And I was supporting her.
And then so you were doing that?
Yes.
And then so that's where the whole kind of the bug to serve families and kids and things came?
Yes. So the Realana of Coming is a children consignment. So we have it twice a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. But since now... most of our kids are in school, so I want to do something more than just...
that twice a year
event. Yeah, that twice a year events, yes.
And then how did you choose Sylvan? Because there's a lot of choices when it comes to franchises.
So we look into different... we want to do something with education, and we look into different brands from Kumon to Sylvan to C2. But we saw that Sylvan has the vision that we were having. Our kids were in Kumon a couple of years ago, but when we look into Sylvan, they have a lot more programs and a bigger vision that fit our vision. So that's why we went ahead with Sylvan.
And then you just opened recently, right? You're in Alpharetta?
Yes. So we're on Old Milton in Alpharetta, and we just we had our grand opening on September 7th. It was actually a 2-day event. We had our ribbon cutting on September 5th. Where we had Father Francis Tran from Holy Vietnamese Martyr Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. He came to bless our centers, as well as we had members from the North Fulton and Alpharetta Chambers came out. We were part of, and with our friends and families.
Because this kind of business is one that you have to be immersed in the community, where your Amazon business is you can... do that in the basement, right?
Exactly.
So this, now you got to go to these events. You have to join the chamber. You have to kind of get involved with the community. So you're Vietnamese. Are you targeting Vietnamese? Like, are you immersed in the Vietnamese community here in Atlanta?
We actually did not. We have friends who started tutoring businesses that target the Vietnamese, but we wanted to target the general population, whoever is. Basically, we're looking for parents who want to invest in the future of their children,
right?
Whether they want to get ahead with their level or bring them up to their
level. Like, or supplement what they're getting.
Exactly.
So now it's been a couple months. So has it been how you imagine it?
Well, for business, I love this saying that whenever you start a new business venture, it always takes twice as long as you think it'll cost you twice as much as you think.
That's if you're lucky.
Exactly. But, you know, me with starting a business before, I knew it would take 3 to 5 years to really build the base.
And the trust in the community.
Exactly.
What have you started to get kids or kids now enrolling?
We do. Currently, we have 5 students and we'll probably get a couple more this week. So it's been, an adventure. We are also we are sponsoring some of the elementary school around our, community, like, New Prospects and OC and Wellbridge Middle. So those are the school that we are sponsoring. And then we look into, sponsoring with other school around.
And then it's targeting mostly elementary, middle school kids, or it can do any age?
It's from K to 12. So we have ACT and SAT programs for high schoolers too.
Wow. So it really takes them through their whole kind of educational background. So now, what's it like if I'm a parent and I want to put my kid in there, how does it work? Do I go in, they take an assessment, see where they're at?
All begins with assessment. So Sylvan is about personalized learning. That's part of why we love Sylvan, is because we did the homework to find other, but they have a business model that allows us to run it as a business. And me coming, being an entrepreneur, I don't want to run the day-to-day operation.
Right.
I want to potentially, once we learn the system, to scale it up 5 to 10 centers.
Is that what you're shooting for?
Yes.
Oh, so. Yep. So you want to have several of these?
Yes. I'm an entrepreneur, so I don't want just one.
Right. You don't want to buy a job.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you're building an empire.
Right. So once you have your child come in, we do an assessment, and they assess the level of reading and math, and not just a general level, but like each skill, whether the child has learned the skill needed for each subject and what areas, and you get an assessment that tells you an equivalent of grade level for your subject, as well as what areas they need to work on. And so then we know exactly, okay, this area, they may need to learn subtraction better, because they're good with addition, but the subtraction and division they're struggling with. So those are kind of personalized learning that Sylvan has developed to be able to go through an assessment and tell you where you are, where your child is.
And then is the work such that they have to go to the center to do the work, or is it that you hand them packets and they go home and do the work?
They come to the center and the teacher is there to teach them as they work. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. That's what sets us different from some of the other one, where the ratio is maximum of 3-to-1, and they get a personalized learning as they're going through the packet.
And then who's teaching them?
We hired certified teachers who are have experience teaching before, especially for the reading, for the math. Mm-hmm. We hire people with the skill set to teach the students. So the certified teachers mainly.
Now, what about if my kid has like a learning disability, like they're dyslexic or something like that? Is that within your scope or is that better fit somewhere else?
That's outside of the scope of our, of our business model.
And then, for you right now, the day to day is, your wife is running the day to day, or you have somebody?
We actually have our center director, Michelle Klein. She's running the center day-to-day operation.
So this is a big investment in terms of that you got to build out this infrastructure and hire some folks right away.
Yeah, basically we both love children and love investing in them. And we are both immigrants. When we came here, we didn't know much, if any, English at all. So we had to learn from the beginning. And there were a lot of teachers that believed in us and people that believed in us when we were struggling. And so this is kind of our passion to give back to the community and to help the children get to the next level, to build the future leaders of our community and our country.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's an exciting time.
Yes.
So if somebody wants to learn more and about where you're at and what you do and how they can send their kid, what's the website?
They can go to sylvanga.com, and that will redirect them to the Sylvan Franchise website, or they can call our center number at 404-301-2390. That's 404-301-2390.
And that's Sylvanga?
Yes. Or you can Google search Sylvan of Alpharetta.
All right. Well, thank you both. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.